From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama met with U.S. military commanders in eastern Afghanistan today, an area of escalating hostilities that he has said is not getting enough attention from the Bush administration. Obama made a stop en route to meet with U.S. troops in Kuwait.
To see everybody in great spirits, doing such important work with so much discipline and so much pride, I think just makes all of us feel really good. So I want to congratulate all of you.
Next stop on Obama's foreign trip is expected to be Iraq, as NPR's Don Gagne reports.
It will be his first time there since January 2006, his first time there since becoming the presumptive Democratic nominee, and his first time there since the surge in U.S. troops. So he'll get a chance to talk to commanders to assess how things are going. He'll also talk to soldiers. We assume he'll have lunch with them or sit down somewhere, and he'll meet with Iraqi leaders.
NPR's Don Gagne covering Obama's foreign trip. Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is reportedly saying he basically agrees with Obama's 16-month time frame for withdrawal of U.S. combat troops. The German magazine Der Spiegel quotes Maliki as saying he wants U.S. troops to leave Iraq as soon as possible. The latest talks concerning Iran's nuclear ambitions have ended with no real progress, despite the participation for the first time of a senior U.S. diplomat. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
After 5 hours of talks, European Union Foreign Minister Javier Solana couldn't hide his disappointment. He said Iran did not respond clearly to a Western proposal that Tehran suspend its uranium enrichment program in return for a package of economic and diplomatic incentives.
Now, I hope very much that after the debate, the change of views, Dr. Jalili will go back to Tehran and will inform the authorities to see if we can get a positive answer.
Solana said Iran's foreign minister promised to respond to the West proposal in 2 weeks. A lot of hope preceded this round of talks because the U.S. had sent the State Department's third-ranking official to participate. Those hopes appear to have been dashed. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
Tropical storm Cristobal has strengthened as it approaches the southeastern U.S. coastline. Meteorologist Eric Blake with the National Hurricane Center says the storm now has sustained winds of 45 miles an hour.
There is some rain along the South Carolina and North Carolina coast, and a tropical storm warning remains in effect from South Santee River, South Carolina, all the way to the North Carolina-Virginia border.
Blake says the storm is not likely to make landfall. Out in the Atlantic, Hurricane Bertha is churning its way in the direction of Iceland. Bertha formed more than 2 weeks ago off the coast of Africa. This is NPR News from Washington. Favorable weather conditions are helping fire crews in California battling the few dozen wildfires remaining from the hundreds that were sparked by a lightning storm last month. A mandatory evacuation order remains in effect for the Junction City area because of a blaze in the Shasta Trinity National Forest. The wildfires in California have charred more than 1,400 square miles of land. Federal safety investigators are at the site of the collapse of a massive crane at an oil refinery in Houston yesterday. 4 workers were killed and 7 others were injured. NPR's Claudio Sanchez has the story.
A spokesman for the owner of the crane, Deep South Crane and Rigging, says the crane was not lifting anything when it fell on top of a tent where workers took their breaks. 3 workers who were injured were treated and released at the scene, 4 died, and 2 remain hospitalized. The crane, one of the biggest in the world, was scheduled to do overhaul work on the Houston Ship Channel. It was assembled on site and had reportedly been inspected last week. Texas does not require the inspection of construction cranes, even though the state has had 26 crane-related deaths since 2005. Existing federal regulations for companies that operate cranes have not been updated since 1971, and that's likely to become an issue as federal investigators now add Houston to the growing list of crane accidents in recent months, including Miami, Las Vegas, and 2 separate crane collapses in New York City that killed 9 people there last March. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.
More than 1 million people danced their way through the streets of Dortmund, Germany today at the annual Love Parade Techno Music Festival. The music blared from 37 floats orchestrated by scores of DJs. Police say the event was generally peaceful. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.